Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. In the last stanza, from sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity. Part of Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. As we've come near the end of it, reading from verse 12 to the end, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are at Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you, amen. As we think of this epistle, we think of Christ's letter to them at that time, but knowing also that we would read it at this time, these 1900 and some years later. They were in a blessed place, and it could be, as we just thought of the song, blessed be the tie that binds. I think we have to think of coming back to it. We're in an age of confusion. We need to say, like Daniel did, to us belongeth confusion of face as it is this day. Here we have a list of those preaching, what they were to do, what they accomplished, what they were to continue to do. Let's pray that Christ will give us such a church again. He said, I will build my church, and let's pray that he will build it among us. Let's give thanks for what we have and beg for what we need in Christ's name. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given, for the creation itself, which declares thy glory. We give thanks for a law which is just and holy and good. In spite of our being, as Paul could say, carnal, sold under sin, we give thanks that it is a law that can show us our sin. It is also a law that can be used of thee to refrain and keep us from sin and write it on our hearts that we will not sin. And we pray for much more of that in our time, in the church, in the world. We pray, Father, for thy blessing, especially on the gospel of Christ. We give thanks that thou hast so loved the world, that thou didst give thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Teach us of the perishing way, for thou hast said thou dost not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And only when we know we are sinners will we know we are perishing, and then give thanks for thy love in Christ. We pray for this first of all in the church, and also to be made known to the world, that soon laborers will be called and sent to every nation, tongue, and tribe, and that thy command, Lord Jesus, will be fulfilled to preach the gospel to every creature. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have, especially those of us who have much more of them than others, having food and raiment in such abundance, and others in hunger and starvation, some of them homeless, many being persecuted, many suffering in many different ways, the awfulness of it. We pray for them and for thy mercy on them. We pray, Father, for that blessing on the sick, that they might experience healing, and if not, that they might have the grace to bear under it, and for those who will soon meet the end of death, that they might have the blessing of having Christ before the hour of death, that they might have him as thy lamb to take away the sin of the world, rather than to face him as an angry lamb on the day of judgment. We pray, Father, for all these things through Christ, and teach us in his name. Amen. As we come toward the end of this, there is much to remember from the beginning. Paul gives thanks in the beginning for this church, that after he heard of their faith and love, as we read in the first chapter, and also reading other things there, their beginning, how they were taken from darkness to light. And he also had prayer for them over and over. We read that all through the epistle, giving thanks in prayer first and praying for them that it would continue. We think of the last part of the first chapter, speaking of Christ in them, the hope of glory, and then stating in the last two verses, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. How we need to beg God that he will call those like Paul, preaching Christ, warning every man, teaching every man, in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And he then points to different ones that were laborers with him. As we come to the last part of that letter, epistle, in the second chapter, he warns against those that would come with philosophy and vain deceit, tradition and rudiments after the world and after men, not after Christ, that can creep into the church, and that is what Satan wants to do. Sometimes coming as an angel of light within the church, sometimes coming as a roaring lion, trying to destroy the church from outward persecution. He also had the plain teaching of baptism, that he said they were buried with him in baptism, wherein they had risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who was raised from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. There is one of the great blessings of God giving Christ, forgiveness of sins, paid for on the cross, paid for with his blood. Without the blood, shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Your and my sins are there before God. They have been against others. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that brings, as he said here, the forgiveness of your sins. We might almost say that's the heart of this epistle. That is the one thing we need so much. And we could say, well, that's selfish. But if we have that and have it rightly, then we will also be able to forgive others. And we will have always a thankfulness to God that he forgave us our sins, rather than to have to face the punishment of it in hell, or sometimes even in time. And that is part of the whole message. The third chapter, he said, if you are risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Along with the forgiveness, which we call justification, we have sanctification. And that is what is described there in that third chapter. And then in the fourth chapter, we have the sum of those who helped Paul. And one of them was the one that we read of in this 12th verse, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. How we need that as well. Sometimes we call them prayer warriors, and how we need to pray for one another. And I'm afraid that this is one thing that we are very much lacking in, individually and collectively. We don't see our prayer meetings flourishing anymore. We don't hear of days of prayer and fasting as we used to, and hardly a noon prayer as we have had it in our country, as the National Day of Prayer seems to be waning. And some still meet on that day and evening in the churches, but not all. We are not laboring fervently in prayer as we should be together and individually. And we need to pray for the spirit of prayer and do like the apostles, teach us to pray. And then the Lord Jesus gave them that perfect prayer about God and having his name to be hallowed and his kingdom to come. And when we should pray that, it's not to look around and say there, there, or there, but that kingdom to come within me, in my heart, and your heart. Then there's hope for others. We can tell others rightly. And here was one who was laboring fervently in prayer that the kingdom would come evidently in Colossae for these people that Paul is writing to. He gives a reason why, praying that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. That's what God gives his servants for. In Ephesians chapter 4, they're described there as Christ giving gifts. We have that prophesied in Psalm 68 that he would do that. And here in Ephesians 4, he writes that he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Here we read that Epaphras was praying that you might stand perfect. And here he gives that there are these different offices and different ones in these different offices for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We read that word perfect in that 12th verse, Colossians 4. We read that here, for the perfecting of the saints, till we all come in the unity on the perfect man. We also read it from Paul's words concerning himself in that end of that first chapter. He said that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Some proper people would say, well, who's perfect? Or nobody's perfect. That's true, sadly. But that is the goal. And Christ said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that is what we call blessed. And the song that we sang, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. One of the places that perfection needs to begin is in our love to one another. It will really come together. Love to God and love to our brother. John makes it so plain, if we can't love our brother, then we're liars if we say we love God. And so this perfection here, much of it will be in love to our brother, in love to our neighbor, even in love to our enemy. Only when we have those things right, and they can be right, because Christ is right. As Paul wrote a little earlier in the 27th verse of the first chapter, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then following those words that we just referred to, whom we preach Christ, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We preach him as the one that paid for our terrible sins, the one that can turn us from our sin, as Peter described it in the end of the third chapter of Acts, when he refers back to the promise that God gave to Abraham and his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And then Peter states, and God hath blessed you first in turning every one of you from his iniquities. We can be perfect in forgiveness, but we're also called to be perfect in sanctification, in obedience, in love. And that is what here describing Epaphras for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Oh, that that answer to that prayer might be there today for us. Is there anybody praying like that, that we will be perfect, ourselves and others, individually, our homes, our churches, our nation? We're so far from it. We're in a time of confusion, much like the Laodiceans. And one of the things that Christ described them as was blind. I've said it before, examples of people that are naturally blind. If they would all start out walking, they would all walk in different directions unless they would hold one to another. And we need to do that too. We need each other. We need to do today like Paul said to the church of the Hebrews, exhort one another. So much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to exhort each other in our sin. We need to exhort each other in what is needed in the good things. In what Paul was doing here, that he might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Here, there was an emphasis on prayer. Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you might stand perfect and complete in the will of God. And then the next verse describes him a little further. Verse 13, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. So he is concerned about the churches other than just the one, the churches round about. All these different places, he has a great zeal, a zeal in prayer, praying that God will give them what is needed, whether it be awakening, as sometimes God says to the churches, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The church at Rome, Paul wrote to them and said, it is high time to wake out of sleep. The church at Corinth, he says, awake to righteousness. We already have that word used by Isaiah in the Old Testament, indicating sleep. Sleep isn't too different than blindness. We have our eyes shut. We don't see. We don't know. The sad thing there at Laodicea was that they were blind and said they were rich. What a contradiction. Christ was true to the faithful witness to them. And here is a church that is blessed. We can say they had the blessing that bind them together, that gave them this wonderful unity in Christ. They are an example for us. They are an example of what God can do. They weren't always that way. They were described as enmity. Verse 21 of the first chapter, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He reconciles in two ways. One, in Christ the mediator in his death. The other, in his resurrection, that we have that resurrection power, as Paul prayed for when he wrote to the church of the Philippians, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That brings reconciliation two ways. One is repentance of our sins and turning from them, and the other is asking for forgiveness, both. And we need both. And that's what we need to pray for ourselves, for others. Epaphras evidently had prayed that for himself, or he would not be praying so fervently for these others in prayer that they would be perfect and complete in all the will of God. If everyone was like that, then the church would be today what Christ prayed for. He prayed just before his death, recorded in John 17. Sometimes we call it the high priestly prayer, that they might be one, as he and the Father are one, four times over for us, one time for the apostles first, and then four times for those who would believe on him through their word, through the apostles' words. And that's us, if we're believers, that we might be one, that we would then stand perfect. As long as we're not one, we're not perfect. And when we differ, we can't both be right. We can both be wrong. And that, I'm afraid, is the situation today. Our political parties are both very wrong. They both think they're right, but very wrong, very far from being statesmen, very far from being God-fearing men. We're not there. They both think they're the answer. When voting comes, vote for us. But neither one of them show much fear of God, and how we need to pray for them as well. Paul said that to Timothy, pray for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. We are seeing strife. I don't know whether we can say the beginning is with us in the church, in our home, or the beginning is with government. It's in both places, all places. It's there. And we can't help one another. We can't have the blessing of the tie that binds if, first of all, we're not right with God. Not right with God through Christ, through repentance, through forgiveness, through faith. It's a very, very, very deep and needed thing. Shallow ground hearers didn't last. We need good ground hearers that will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Shallow ground hearers turned away. Time of temptation, time of persecution. And that's where we're doing today. We act much like the wrong types of soil rather than the good ground that brings forth the fruit as we have it here, that you may be perfect and complete in all the will of God. If each one in the church was that, there would be perfect oneness, all doing all the will and all doing it together. And that isn't being done. As I said, we need to pray like Daniel, to us belongeth confusion of face. We need to say it as he did also, we and our fathers have sinned. He said it in a time when God had punished terribly, awful. Daniel was there as a prisoner in Babylon. He was a blessed one, but he was still a prisoner. He still talked about Jerusalem and the awfulness that had happened to it. And he had some hope because Jeremiah wrote after 70 years, there would be the restoration of Jerusalem, and he saw that that was near at hand. We don't have any such promise. We have a promise of Israel coming to the fullness. We have a promise that if their cutting off was for the blessing of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. But I don't know which Gentiles will be blessed. How many? How much? Which country? It could be all. It could be only some. Could be only a few. And we need to recognize where we are. We have a measuring stick here. Klasa. The full measure of a wonderful church. Let's stand next to that measure and see how short we are. How short we are of the glory of God. How short we are individually in our homes, in our churches. So far from being perfect and complete in the will of God, doing what they're doing here. He also refers to Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. Demas was still here, evidently. Sometime later, Paul had to write, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We are already there, where Demas was later. If it could happen to Demas, it can happen to us. It did happen to Demas, and it is and has happened to us. We are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The Lord's Day is often swallowed up by games and sports, doing this and doing that, doing other things. It's not a day of quietness, a day of worship, a day of prayer. We need to think of the faith of our fathers. We need to think of John, who was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And we are, again, far from that in just that one area. We can't say on the Lord's Day, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. More and more young people have left the church. Less and less old people are being part of the church. We read it continually in our papers, in our newspapers. Yes, we need to have what is warned of here as well as what is described. The 17th verse states, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it. How terrible when we don't take heed. How terrible when we don't fulfill it. When we are a reproach instead of a blessing. Instead of honoring the gospel that we preach. And here, first of all, let's remember that Paul is talking to those who are part of that group which Christ gave to the church and said to the church at Ephesus, as we read of it, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then later he says, no more children, tossed to and fro at every wind of doctrine. And I'm afraid we're there. That's part of our confusion. Doctrines that in former years were described as dangerous, believing the Spirit was gone, given over to corrupt doctrines, today are everywhere. The largest churches, many times, the worst doctrine. We need to teach God's word, God's way. Only then will we have the word to hear and have a right faith in God and in Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.